Then we're gonna go. Well, that's not a good start.
No.
All right. Let's see if it'll play, man.
Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
To be fair, they did redo the website, so maybe we're not hooked up automatically. But anyways, welcome to the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I know we've been gone for a little while, but we're back. I, of course, am the Big Jack, and since we're a half hour early and it is Thursday, Schomburg Stew here for filling in for Dan the Man one more time. Yay! I need
this
a pause.
My last time. This is my last time for filling in for Dan.
You know, for now, I think I'm trying to remember if it's this week or next week. I'll have to double check. Maybe we'll have Stu one more week. We'll have to figure things out. And then, of course, he's here, you know, quite a few times when Dan needs time off. So it's not like it's the last time we're going to hear from him. But anyways, if you'd like to call in, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. You know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so if you didn't catch up on the one yesterday morning, it's still sitting over there for you. Swing on by and take a read. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Stu's still not on Twitter yet, but we're working on that. I, of course, am at Burke Time if you'd like to run me down there. So we shall see. But, hey, man, we got a lot going on since, you know, the All-Star game, I guess, these last couple of days.
Yeah, and a couple of moves, major moves.
Yeah, we've had a couple of, you know, I guess what you would call a big, you know, big time guys getting traded, or at least one big time, you know, name guy getting traded in baseball with another top reliever. And then we had, two big NBA trades go down. But let's start with baseball and the one we've been waiting for and everybody's been talking about since really the start of the season. You know, Manny Machado ends up with the Dodgers. It's difficult to really know what the Orioles actually got, because they got four minor leaguers and then a guy who's bounced back and forth a little bit, but they only got one top rated prospect. So do you think they settled for quantity over quality in this situation, maybe?
Well, it doesn't sound like they really got very much for him, did it, at least not to me. And I know they're rebuilding and all that, but seems they could have swung a deal for a little bit more talent than what they actually received.
Yeah, and you know, obviously, you know, we don't know. I mean, any of these guys could turn out to actually be quality major league players. The top rated guy is I believe it's pronounced Yusniel Diaz, who's he's a double A minor leaguer right now. The Dodgers' fourth rated prospect, and he's in the top 100 among all the guys who go out and rank prospects. So I guess he was the key guy in the deal.
Yeah, it looks like he is. And it's always a crapshoot, though, when a deal like this is consummated. So I guess you really don't know for 2 or 3 years whether or not the deal will turn out to be a decent one for them or not.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's still, even, you know, for a rent-a-player, giving up five guys is a lot. I know the Dodgers have a deep farm system. Like these other guys, like I hadn't heard of, they gave up two right-handers by the name of Dean Kramer and Zach Pop, which is a very cool baseball name. Minor league infielder was Rylan Bannon, and the guy I actually saw play a little bit, and I'm going to butcher this first name, but I guess it's Brevek Valeria. And, you know, he's been up and down a few times with the Dodgers, and I believe the Reds. I think they got him from the Reds. Everybody I heard talks about him as nothing more than a possible utility guy. But I know the Orioles have had success with those utility guys, so maybe he'll be one of those guys that work out for them. I, Like you said, I mean, we're not going to know for a while what the heck is going to go on with these guys.
The one question I have, and maybe you can give me your educated opinion on it, is do you think the Dodgers will do something at the end of the season before Machado goes into free agency and try to sign him to a long-term deal? They have the money. We always know that they have the money to do something like that.
I think the only way they possibly do it is if it looks like Corey Seager's recovery is delayed. Because obviously he's their shortstop. I know Machado is only, 20? Did I hear 29? Maybe. I don't even think he's 30 yet.
No, he's not.
Seager is even younger than Machado. He's obviously under club control for a much longer, period of time. I really lied about Machado. He's actually only 26. So I butchered that one. But the Dodgers have been trying to keep themselves under the luxury tax by signing a guy like Machado. That's not going to do it. So I really got a feeling he's just legitimately a rent-a-player for them.
And that by making that move, of course, that might make them the favorite to win the pennant in the National League.
Yeah, I think it gives them a little bit of an advantage, but I believe I wrote on Wednesday that I don't think it's that big of an advantage until they can prove to me that their pitching is healthy. We've had Kershaw on the DL twice. You never know when Rich Hill is going to go back on the DL. They don't actually have Walker Buehler is just coming off an injury. He's been a bit of a surprise as a rookie, in that rotation. So yeah, they don't have a great history of keeping those pitchers healthy. They got to prove that to me first before I kind of stamp them as the actual favorite. I think maybe they're a tad ahead of the Cubs right now. I wouldn't put them, I wouldn't lock them in and say, oh yeah, now that they got this guy, this is it. Cause let's face it. We honestly don't know how he's going to do.
No. Some players have switched leagues and have done very well. Others have fallen on their faces. Now, one player I remember in years past that did great switching from leagues was Frank Robinson. He had no problem switching from the National League to the American League. But not everybody is that successful.
I think you look at Machado, through his career, and it does look like he'll continue to be successful. I mean, he's just a very good player, no doubts about it. And, may actually be the best shortstop in baseball right now that he's playing the position.
He's only 26, so he's got a long career ahead of him for sure.
So, yeah, and I mean, he's in line to make, a boatload of money, depending on how or what he wants to sign for. But, there's going to be teams just, raining down cash on him. I mean, I won't be surprised if he averages, $25, $30 million a season, when that new contract rolls in. It's just how long does it want to lock him up for?
And if this does happen, and it looks like he probably, as you say, correctly point out, he will go into free agency. Which teams are going to be vying for his services, do you think, right now? What would your opinion be on that one?
The big team that I keep hearing with him is Philadelphia. The Phillies, the Phillies were interested in trading for him, but really didn't want to give up, what they're kind of rebuilding. They were just really kind of waiting for this, let him get on the free agent market and then we'll kind of take it from there. When you look at the big money teams, and like we talked about the Dodgers, you throw the Red Sox and the Yankees in there, they don't really need a shortstop. We mentioned
that's right.
The Dodgers have, but the Yankees have Didi Gregorius, who has been fantastic since taking over from Derek Jeter. Nobody thought he could do it, but he's really done well. And then the Red Sox have Xander Bogaerts, who's another, fantastic player. Now, I think Machado is a little better than both those guys, but I don't know if it's a big enough upgrade for either of those teams to make that move.
Probably not.
So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, who's really willing to kind of throw that money at him.
If Philadelphia gets him, would that make them the instant favorite to win the NL East for 2019? I imagine it would. They're certainly in contention this year so far.
You know, I think it puts them right up there. You know, it's so hard to give up on the Nationals because they have such good pitching when, you know, Strasburg is healthy. Because, you know, anytime you can run Scherzer and Strasburg out there 1-2, and then, you know, even the guys they follow up with, you know, Gio Gonzalez is solid. Tanner Roark is solid. I know they've had tough years this year, but they've been asked to do a little more with Strasburg hurt and, you know, the team kind of scuffling. I don't know if it would make the Phillies the runaway favorite, but I think they would kind of be co-favorites. Of course, that could also depend at what uniform Bryce Harper is wearing, next season as well. Is national? Is he, you know, where the hell does he end up?
Yeah, and let's face it, he's not doing himself any favors this year because he's not having a very good season. Yes, he has a lot of home runs, but his average is horrible.
Yeah. It's humorous to listen to them make all the excuses for him when I watch the MLB Network about, you know, why he's scuffling and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it's just like, boy, man, you guys are just really trying to cover up for this guy. So.
he certainly is not doing himself any favor. But even with a down year like that and even with their injuries that they've had, it's still shocking to me that they're still hovering around the 500 mark at the All-Star break.
Yeah, they're probably the biggest disappointment in baseball right now. When you look at the teams and kind of what you expected everybody to do, I think the Nationals are easily the biggest disappointment in baseball.
Without question.
You know, but yeah, you know, kind of, you know, as I, you know, kind of look at the market and I look at the teams here, you know, unless Machado is willing to move back to third base, which is something he said he doesn't want to do, I don't know how big the market is going to be out there. You know, I mean, you look at the contenders. We went over the Red Sox and the Yankees. The Indians have Lindor. The Astros have Correa at short. You know, the Braves, if you consider them a contender, they have Dansby Swanson. You know, the Cubs have Baez and Russell. I don't think the Brewers could afford him. I think the Cardinals are kind of in that same boat. You know, does Arizona jump in? You know, they did spend a lot of money on Zach Greinke. So, you know, would they be a team that could slide in and maybe be a player? But, you know, other than that, I don't see a team begging for a shortstop that's going to go after this guy. You know, except the Philadelphia room.
I see Arizona more so than I see Milwaukee or St. Louis at this point.
Like I think Milwaukee would love to have them, but I can't see them, you know, even if they went, you know, 5 years and $150 million, that's just way too much out of their price range for them to do. You know, being the smaller market like that,
I
just don't think they could afford him. You know, as much as they would have him, and he'd be a great fit there.
And they did acquire a couple of fairly expensive players during the offseason who have both done very well for them. But as you pointed out, they're a small market team, so I'm not sure if they can afford to hire him.
Yeah, you know, they spent that money on Lorenzo Cain. You know, Yelich was on a pretty team-friendly contract. The Marlins had him, you know, pretty wrapped up. But, yeah, just kind of – you know, even like the Nationals who spent some money, you know, they got a young guy in Trey Turner at shortstop. You know, I guess they could ask him to go back to the outfield. You know, he did spend some time in center field. So, you know, that would be kind of an outside possibility. But, yeah, I don't see as big as a market as I think a lot of people will. I know we're going to hear some White Sox talk but they're so far away from being ready to win that the signing just doesn't make sense.
No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah, realistically,
you know, they
would think that only two or three teams might be interested in acquiring the services now. That's about it. It's definitely
possible.
That'll be quite interesting to see what happens.
You know, unless a team has a secondary plan, on where, okay, well, you know, we're going to sign Machado, but then we're going to ship off, the guy we have playing shortstop right now. So.
Can Seager play other positions besides shortstop?
You know, I don't know. You know, he is a tall, rangy guy, and there was some talk about him possibly moving to third base. But, you know, that position is kind of nailed down by Justin Turner.
That's true.
You know, he's on a long-term deal. So, you know, it's a difficult, you know, and that's the other issue with Machado is even if the Dodgers re-sign him, well, where the hell does he play? You got Seager at short and Turner at third. Which one of your guys do you bump for Manny?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and Turner used to be a utility guy, but I don't know if he could still do that role on a daily basis and perform. So, you know, there's a lot of questions there with that.
Yeah, very interesting. And right now, to me, it looks like a rematch for the National League pennant for the third year in a row between the Cubs and the Dodgers. So
yeah, you
could
be
think, the rubber
barring
match,
anything
right?
weird happening, it should be, right?
Yeah, this would be the rubber match. The third and deciding rubber match, right? They each have of course, the Cubs won in six in 2016, and the Dodgers crushed the Cubs last year in five games. Yeah. I think no matter if they do play again, I think this will be a longer series than last year's. I see it going six or seven games this time.
Yeah, well, you know, then, all right, well, we had our other trade. The Padres finally decided to move Brad Hand. You know, he was one of the most sought-after relievers. You know, he's been closing in San Diego, but I'm guessing he may return to a setup role now that he's going to Cleveland with another pitcher by the name of Adam, I'm guessing this is Cimber, maybe, C-I-M-B-E-R, who's been doing a real nice job of setting up with San Diego. So it looks like Cleveland added two really good bullpen pieces, which was their biggest weakness. Their bullpen had been a mess this year. Now, they did have to give up what a lot of guys called the best catching prospect in baseball. That was Francisco Mejia. So they, you know, while they got what they needed, it does look like the Padres got a really, really good return here for their two guys. You know, Mejia, he hasn't had a lot of major league experience yet, so we'll have to see, you know, if San Diego brings him up or how they decide to handle him this year. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's only 22 years old, so.
Yeah, and his average in the minors wasn't all that great, right? I mean, he was okay, but nothing spectacular. He was under 300.
You know, he was
his average 270.
279 AAA. Yeah, 279 at AAA, which isn't terrible for a catcher, you know, because they have obviously a lot of other responsibilities. You know, on the plus side, his strikeout rate wasn't bad. He had 58 strikeouts in 79 games. So at least he's putting the ball in play. You know, I hate that where you get the guy who's striking out more than once per game.
Yeah, well, I'm always dubious when a guy is only hitting 278 at AAA because, even though he's a catcher, because – Let's compare him to Contreras. Wasn't Contreras always over 300 in Iowa? I mean, 330, 340, a lot higher than that when the Cubs brought him
up. Yeah, well, he had his 300 years. It's just this year, you know, when he spent the year in class high A, he hit 380, and at A ball, he hit 384, and then at double A, he hit 297. So he's been right there. It's just this is the first, you know, this first year in AAA.
Right.
And, you know,
yeah, I don't pay too much attention to single A play myself.
Yeah.
I mean, those averages are so inflated compared to double A and AAA, I think, is where you really can tell if a player is going to develop.
Yeah. You know, I mean, more importantly, he's throwing out 35% of the guys who've tried to steal against him.
Yeah. The guy's got a heck of an arm. That's a plus, too.
Yeah. You know, that's something. You don't get too many guys in the 30s anymore. He's only committed two errors as a catcher. And he has actually played some outfield. So if they, you know, need to give him a break or they want to put him someplace else, he has played the corner outfield.
Well, certainly Cleveland made this deal not so much as they're worried about not winning their division. They made it so they can compete with Houston, the Yankees, and Boston.
Yeah.
Which is a good move on their part.
Yeah, well, you know, they have a really good starting rotation. I mean, obviously Corey Kluber is a stud, you know, and then if Carrasco could stay healthy, you know, they have enough guys around him to where they have a really good rotation. But, you know, Andrew Miller is hurt, and there's a lot of questions about his return. And, you know, bullpens are so weird because basically Cleveland brought back everybody from last year who was really good. Now they stink.
Yeah.
So
that's the problem with the bullpen. There's a lack of consistency, but they're not the only team that has happened to over the course of the years.
No, but, you know, they were smart enough to go out and fix it.
Yes, they did, and they're certainly going to give the Yankees and Boston a good battle, and Houston a good battle. Whether Seattle makes it in the mix, I don't know. Possibly.
Well, you know, I mean, whoever's going to Boston or New York to play the wild card team, be it Seattle or whoever it ends up being.
Yeah, so that'll be tough. That'll be tough. But don't forget, the first round is only five games, so. You never know. One team could be a lot superior than another team. In this case, it looks like a mismatch, but strange things happen in a five-game series.
Yeah, well, here, looking at the Cleveland bullpen, they have, with the exception of Oliver Perez, whose ERA is 0.69, but he only really comes in to face one hitter. You know, he comes in, faces a lefty, and then he's out of the game. The best ERA in the bullpen belongs to a name that you'll recognize. Neil Ramirez has a 3.00 ERA, which is the best one currently in the Indians bullpen.
Well, if you remember, I was always kind of a fan of Ramirez. I thought he had a lot of potential. But Cubs have some great suitable replacements, right?
Yeah, but, you know, like looking at the left of the Indians' numbers, Dan Otero is 5.60. Zach McAllister is 5.65. Tyler Olson, who's supposed to be their other lefty setup guy, is 7.50. And while their closer, Cody Allen, does have 20 saves, he carries an ERA of 4.66. So, yeah, the bullpen has been a bit of a fiasco.
Shaky, to say the least. So, they certainly did make a smart move in addressing their bullpen issues with the acquisitions for today.
Yeah, I didn't know much. I want to look up the other guy they got here, Simber or however we're going to pronounce it. I didn't know much about him. Let's see. Well, he appeared in 42 games. He's 3-5 with a 3.17 ERA. So. You know,
quite respectable.
48. Yeah, he's pretty solid. Brad Hand's left-handed, so that'll be a big plus. 41 games, he did pick up 24 saves, 2-4 with a 3.05 ERA. So they're two really solid additions, rolling into the Padres bullpen there.
Yeah, they certainly have done themselves made a good deal for themselves, and they'll be a lot more competitive now in the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely going to be it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of come together and see how the bullpen gels. You know, like I said, there's still no real timetable for an Andrew Miller return, so I'm wondering how that kind of works out. I want to double check here and see what his injury actually is, because I know you came back and had a short stint and then went right back on the DL. Inflammation in the right knee And the list here has him out till the end, basically the end of July. So we'll have to see if they're correct there.
He has not been all that durable the last few years. He's had his injury issues.
Well, you know, he had that kind of breakout year, you know, when he was just the guy. And then that was kind of it. You know, he got the contract and he got hurt.
Yeah. The risk takes in acquiring pitchers. They are a little brittle on occasion.
So, yeah, it can be difficult there, but yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting to see how kind of both these trades work out. And, you know, like you said, Cleveland really setting up for the postseason. You know, they don't have to worry much about, you know, wrapping up that division. So
well, it's interesting. I find that we're pretty well set as to who's going to be in the playoffs in the American League. You know, but I can't say the same thing in the National League. I cannot say for sure who's a lock.
Yeah, it's been surprising how easily the American League kind of shook out. You know, I mean, the only real question is, will Seattle hang on to that second wild card spot?
Yeah, Oakland isn't too far behind them.
So, you know, but yeah, other than that, I mean, the Yankees are in the Red Sox. Either the Yankees or the Red Sox are going to win the East. The other one's going to be a wild card.
Right.
They're both going to have over 100 wins, so they've already got their fans complaining that one of them's going to end up playing a one-game elimination. You know, instead of being able to just go into the playoffs. The Indians, you know, if the Indians don't wrap up the Central, it would have to be a huge comeback by Minnesota. They're, you know, 7.5 back.
I
wouldn't expect it. I mean, it would really take a tanking by the Indians. The Mariners are 3 games up on the A's. The Yankees, they're just 5 games ahead of the Mariners for that first wild card spot. So, that's not out of the realm of possibility, but I don't think that happening. But, yeah, it's basically, do you like Seattle or Oakland? Because Oakland's 3 games behind Seattle. But then you got to go back to Tampa Bay, who's 8.5 behind Seattle. So, yeah, it's really just two teams for one spot kind of right now.
Yeah, it's amazing how Billy Bean can do this so often and with a limited budget and get his teams into potential playoff positioning.
So, yeah, he's definitely a top-notch general manager, you know, compared to, you know, some of the guys out there who just seem to kind of flounder year after year with their, you know, their teams.
Yes.
But yeah,
his budget is not all that large.
Yeah. And then the National League, you know, Philadelphia, you know, they're technically leading the East right now. They got a half game lead on the Braves, and then the Nats are just 5.5 out. The Cubs finally kind of shaking things out in the Central. They're 2.5 ahead of Milwaukee, but you know, like you said, the Cubs have a lot of games in hand there. And then out west, it's the Dodgers by a half game over the Diamondbacks. But then the Rockies are just 2 out, and the Giants are just 4 out.
Yeah.
So,
for sure. You never know. And that can go anyway. Unless the Dodgers start to pull away now because they got Machado. But I don't see one player making that big of an impact. Because it looks to be close the entire season. I think it'll be close. That'll be a close race all the way through.
Yeah, it should be, and I think the Brewers technically hold the first wild card spot, and then Arizona is 2. But then everybody is just they're right behind them. Colorado's a game and a half back, and or actually maybe it's Atlanta, and I'm going to double check that now to make sure I got that correctly. What's the National League wild card look like here? It's the Brewers by a game over Atlanta. And then Arizona is a half game back of Atlanta. Colorado's two back. And surprisingly, it's the Cardinals and the Giants who are just four back.
Yeah, that is surprising, especially with the Cardinals who have been floundering for quite a while now.
Yeah.
And are they over 500 now? Are they maybe one or two games over?
Yeah.
The Cardinals?
They're 46. They're two over. So.
Right. We'll see how the new manager does. The firing is going to have an impact on them. I know they won their only game with the new manager.
Yeah, you know, I know a lot of times a team will get a little bit of a shot from hiring a new guy, but I think the All-Star break kind of took that all away from St. Louis. So,
well, they got five games to play with the Cubs over the weekend, and that should be interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, as long as they don't manage to sweep like the Pirates did to the Brewers, it could be okay. So.
Yeah, the Brewers have lost what, five in a row now?
Six.
Six? Wow. Yeah, the last game was they must have really hurt them. They lost that last game in extra innings after they took a one-run lead, and then with two out in the ninth inning and a pouring rain, and doubled to the wall and drove in both runs for Pittsburgh. And surprisingly, I was shocked that they actually let him play in that conditions. If you took a look at the replay, that it wasn't just a gentle rain coming down. It was a deluge. It was really coming down hard.
Yeah, no surprise it works out. Milwaukee had the longest losing streak going into the All-Star break at six, and the Pirates in return had the longest winning streak going into the break at six games. So.
And under the radar, and of course it's too late now, but Cincinnati is playing terrific ball since Riggleman has started managing them. They really surprised a lot of people.
So, yeah, they have played much better, but, yeah, you know, sadly, you know, they're 10 games under and it's too late for them.
Too late.
So.
Too late. They have a very dangerous team.
Yeah, well, you know, Colorado, kind of the same thing. You know, they got out to that good start, and, I mean, I remember listening to guys saying, you know, it was going to be Colorado and Arizona and the Dodgers were going to be shut out in the West because they got off to such a rough start. And, you know, then the Rockies hit that bad patch, and they, you know, they really struggled. I think they even got – they may have dropped even under 500 at one point. They bounced back. They won five – you know, they won five in a row, so they got themselves back in it. You know, they're only a couple games behind the Dodgers. So, you know, they could be interesting. You know, another interesting team to watch.
Yeah,
so.
that's going to be a close race throughout the rest of July and through September.
Yeah, that's definitely – I am really interested to kind of see what the hell the Nationals are. You know, are they the team we all kind of – you know, thought they were, because I think all of us in our preseason predictions had them winning the division. I believe most people did.
Yeah.
So, I know I remember hearing, I think it was Chris Rose picked them to win the World Series. You know, and I know there were a few people on that bandwagon.
Yeah, I picked them to win the pennant, but not the World Series. I picked the Yankees to win the World Series, but over Washington. So it doesn't look like my prediction in the National League is going to come true.
Yeah, I had Washington winning the World Series last year. I didn't have them winning it this year, so I was a little off there. But yeah, they've had a handful of injuries that have really cut into their regular guys. And yeah, you know, looking at it here, man, Harper's hitting .214. So,
mentioned that 214. When I, as you know, I've been moaning about Chris Bryan, but having a down year. But at least he's hitting .280.
So, yeah, well, you know, like you said, you know, Harper's power numbers are there. He does have 23 home runs, and he has taken his walks. He's got 78 walks, but you know, through 94 games, he's already got 102 strikeouts. So yeah, I hate seeing those totals when they're like that. But
yeah, that's 214 is just not acceptable.
No. You know, I mean, I would like, you know, I'd like to think he would turn it on and probably end up at 240 or 250, but boy, you know, I don't know, you know. And then they finally got Daniel Murphy back, and, you know, he really hasn't found it. You know, normally he's a good hitter. He's hitting 253 since coming back. And, yeah. You know, I think Matt Wieters hasn't hurt as much as he's been healthy, but he's only hitting 205. So they've, mm-hmm. you know, they've really had some struggles.
Yeah, Murphy has really regressed after a super year in 2017. He had a terrific I'm trying to remember if he led the league in batting or not, but certainly he's way, way down from his batting of last year.
Yeah, I mean, he was an MVP candidate the last 2 years, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he didn't win the batting title. He did lead the league in doubles the last two seasons. But, yeah, he did hit 322 last year and 347 in 2016. So, yeah.
Yeah, so talk about a down year. Yeah, he's had some injuries this year, and you think that he would slowly start rounding back in shape, though, now that he's back in the lineup, but it hasn't seemed to happen just yet.
Yeah, and he is he's actually in the last year of his contract, too. So not the time to kind of scuffle here.
Yeah, not the time to have a down year, is it?
Yeah, not the time to be dinged up. And, you know, it's weird because, like, you look at his career and, you know, once he started playing full-time in 2012, I mean, he really played. His lowest game total is 130. This season he's only played in 28 games.
Yeah, he played it all this year. Missed two-thirds of the season.
But, yeah, well, you know, we'll have to see if, you know, and that's, you know, and that's a lot of their, you know, you look at it, their contributing problem. I mean, you know, you're missing a guy who's been an MVP candidate for 2 years.
Right.
You know, even Trey Turner is down a little bit. You know, his average is just 267. You know, Adam Eaton is back and finally healthy and looks like he's hitting because, you know, Michael Taylor, who was filling in, is only hitting 240. So, yeah, there's a lot of questions. You know, their catching is just a mess. You know, I mentioned Wieters at 205. Pedro Severino, who's supposed to be a top prospect, well, while he was up, he hit .171. And the other guy they got doing catching is Spencer Keboom. I like to say Kaboom, but it's Keboom. He's hitting .211.
Yeah, their catching has not been very productive in terms of hitting this year for sure. None of them.
It'd be interesting to see if that's something they address now that, you know, they addressed the bullpen and they added Herrera. You know, I know Doolittle ended up going on the DL, but I still think they have enough to kind of cover that while he's recovering. So, yeah, I'll be interested to see if they go out and try to add a catcher. I know they've been linked to JT Realmuto. But I definitely think that's – if a team's going to go that route, I think it's going to cost them. The Marlins are going to package to give him up.
I think they'll be in contention by the end of the season at least, if not winning it. They're going to – they won't be 5.5 games behind for the rest of the season. I'd see them making some kind of a climb up.
Yeah, you know, and then on the plus side, it does look like – not only Doolittle is expected back Friday, but it looks like Steven Strasburg could make the start tomorrow, you know, come off the DL and make the start against the Braves. So that's definitely, you know, a big plus if they can get him to come back. So
you don't know. He does appear to be a brittle type pitcher. I mean, is he going to come back and get hurt again? Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, well, you know, they've always taken such care with him, but it seems to be, you know, in injury after injury. I mean, things just keep coming up with this guy. I think he pitched a full season last year. He made 28 starts, which I guess is a full season in today's game, but. Yeah, you know, he's not going to do that this year, and he didn't do that in 16 or 15. So,
he's going to be a problem.
You know, I mean, yeah, you know, it's weird because, like, you look at his stuff, and he's only reached 200 innings one time. He pitched 215 innings in 2014, and that was it. And, you know, when before,
that,
you know, it used to be.
Right. Are you all that confident that he's going to come back and stay healthy? I'm not. I just can't.
You know.
I hope he does.
Yeah,
I don't want anybody hurt. But the confidence is not there for me because of this history this year. It's just been in terms of injuries.
You know, cause, you know, when he's back, he's, you know, he's good. I mean, for his career, he's 90-51 with a 3.10 ERA.
Yeah, no
so,
one
I mean,
knows,
it's, you know,
no one doubts his ability.
Yeah, you know, back. I mean, back and healthy would be huge. So, you know, we'll have to, you know, we'll have to see. I mean, he's had a lot of time on the DL, and, you know, they just called it, you know, kind of like Brandon Morrow, not bicep inflammation. This was shoulder inflammation. So, you know, that's nothing internal. So
no.
You would think it wouldn't be that serious. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, we'll have to see when he gets back, you know, what he's got and, you know, if he's okay.
Yeah. You don't know about that shoulder inflammation. That could linger, too. You don't know. You just don't know.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's tough. You know, nowadays it's so difficult to, you know, to try to judge a pitcher because, you know, you just don't know now. I mean, especially a starter because you see him for all of, oh, yeah, this guy went out for five innings. Okay, well, how do I figure out who he is or what he is?
Well, speaking of the walking wounded, by the way, have you heard any update on Darvish? One way or the other.
Oh, you know, I didn't even think that here. Let me, again, I will jump on Dan's favorite search engine, and we will run, let's go with Yu Darvish and return and see what we get. Of course, it helps if I spell the last name correctly. There we go.
There you go. You got it. Okay.
let's see. Yu Darvish injury update. Cubs hope pitcher to return by next weekend. So, there you go.
Well, we'll see if that happens. And the funny thing about is that he's been pretty durable for his career, except for that Tommy John surgery, right? Other than that, he's been pretty healthy.
Yeah. So, yeah, I believe so. You know, I think, you know, there was some minor stuff here and, you know, here and there to start here or stuff start there with the Rangers, but I don't think it was anything too serious. I would have to double check that though, before I kind of shoot myself in the foot. All right, let's see what we got for you here. All right, last year he made 31 starts last year. Remember he missed all of 2015 with Tommy John, and
right.
He only made 17 starts in 2016. He was a little dinged up in 2014. He only made 22 starts. So he had that three-year stretch where he had some issues. But, yeah, it looked like he bounced back last year, even though he was 10-12, but, you know, that happens. But, yeah, this year it's been a fiasco. I mean, he's made 8 starts.
Yeah. So when he comes back to Wrigley Field, is that going to be you, or is that going to be another time, a kind of a phrase from the Cub fans?
So, you know, it's definitely becoming an issue, you know, and especially for the fact that, you know, he signed long term.
Yes.
So, you know, it's going to be, you know, going to be interesting. And then, you know, you add to the fact that Brandon Morrow just went on the DL again today. So, yeah, they're in desperate need of some kind of pitching help. You know,
right.
I mean, it'll probably be a little help to get Carl Edwards Jr. back. I know he's had some struggles in the minors, but you know, he has a bit of a resume, so I'll be okay if he comes back, you know, to them, because he was good until he got hurt.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, like the number, you know, the numbers aren't bad, you know, when you look at the bullpen guys, but it's just they don't really exude a ton of confidence when, you know, you see them. I mean, it's just like, oh, man, they're bringing this guy in or this guy's coming in. And, you know, it's difficult for them to find a closer when Morrow isn't around.
The thing is that I think a lot of their players in the bullpen have good stuff. But there's one thing they all lack. They all have one flaw in common, which absolutely infuriates me: lack of control.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's all pitching coach related. You know, you got guys get too fine, and you know you start to struggle. So,
as I always mention, the name of Eckersley is a guy who was the consummate relief pitcher because he threw strikes, period.
Well, yeah, but how much that had to do with the fact that he was actually sober and off drugs?
Well, that's because he wasn't playing with the Cubs anymore.
Yeah, but that was before. That was when he was an Indian. He had all those problems. I think he just carried that over to the Cubs. But, yeah, you know, like I said, Morrow went on the DL. They did bring Anthony Bass back, who was really good for them,
yeah,
you know, while he was here. But – you know, again, it's just, you know, you see these names and it's just kind of like, okay, this is what we're going with. I mean, you know, C-Sheck's a washed up closer who's having a really good year. Strope is legitimately just a setup guy. We know he can't close. I know he has a couple saves this year, but he can't close. It's hard to believe that Justin Wilson's ERA is just 2.77 because I never see him get anybody out.
Control.
But
it's control.
You know, apparently he
can
lose.
Yeah,
and Dunsing was still good
last year. He can't throw
strikes. He's just as bad this year. Yeah.
Yeah,
Dunsing's
not have a – even when he came back, he didn't look all that good. After he came back from his shoulder fatigue, or he didn't look all that good when he returned to the lineup. And Hancock is still
hurt. Do they have him listed as injured? Yes, they do. He's on the DL. But, you know, like Edwards was good. His ERA was 2.89 while he was here. Randy Rosario has been a nice find. You know, his ERA is 1.95. And then Bass is 0.63. So, I would love to see them give Edwards a chance to close because they need to know if that's his future. But I just don't know if they'll do it. You know, I mean, you got to figure out sooner or later what this guy is.
Yeah.
So.
All right, let me ask you what your opinion then. In a game situation, ninth inning, who would you rather have, assuming Morrow's on the DL, who would you rather have close a game, C-Sheck or Edwards?
You know, I think it depends where they are and who they're facing. You know, I mean, because there's a difference. I mean, you know, if you're 10 games up, you can afford to take a look at Carl Edwards. If you need to win, you got to go with C-Sheck because he's the experienced guy. And he's got a history of saving major league games. I mean, like we saw, you can go back to the World Series with Edwards. Man, he was really good for those first two outs, and then I think he realized where he was. And it went to hell in a handbasket, just like that, because he kind of got on the mound and went, holy crap, I'm going to win the World Series for my team. And that was it. So,
Yeah, my heart kind of. When he walked the third batter in the inning after getting the first two outs, not good, and it wasn't close either. Getting back to walks again.
Yeah, you know, just one of those things. But you know, he's 26 now. You know, he's starting to mature. You know, I just think he looks like a guy who could develop into that. You know, and you know the other guys. I mean. You know, Dwayne Underwood only got that one start. Madden only stuck with him for four innings, but he was decent. You know, James Norwood, definitely a hard thrower. I think he needs to develop a little bit. But, you know, we're talking about guys who are 23 and 24. So, you know, if we don't see them for a year or two when they're 25 and they mature a little bit, you know, maybe they got something down the road here.
It's possible.
But, you know, I trust Joe Maddon so little when it comes to handling a pitching staff. I mean,
right.
he's just incredibly clueless.
Yeah.
So,
The thing that worries me about Edwards as a closer is durability.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's something they got to find out.
Right. Exactly right.
You know, I mean, like, we knew coming in this year that it would be rough for Morrow to pitch on back-to-back days, and, you know, it's been an issue. So, you know, we'll have to see if, you know, they can find a guy. I mean, they need bullpen help. You know, and with Brad Hand off the market, that's difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, he would have been a nice guy to plug in front of Morrow, and then he also could have closed on today's Morrow couldn't. You know, there aren't a lot of those guys out there. You know, it's difficult, and especially, you know, you got to find, you know, who's ready to sell. I mean, maybe now that the Orioles have dealt Machado, you can go get a Zach Britton. You know, he could be a guy who could possibly, you know, he looks like he's getting his stuff back. That could be a really good righty-lefty tandem at the end of your bullpen.
It could be, but, of course, he's not a youngster either, Britton. He's been around a while.
But, you know, he's another guy in the last year of his deal, so you would just be renting him. It probably wouldn't cost you much. So, you know, it could be a really good add there at the end.
Any rumors regarding the Cubs acquiring another pitcher after Hand went off the market?
You know, there's been, you know, like everything, there's little kind of tidbits here and there. But, you know, for some reason, and I didn't understand this, everybody was really hot on the Cubs going to get Machado. And I just didn't understand that.
I completely agree with your statement there. I didn't see a need to get him.
Yeah, they do have Bruce Levine, who's a really, really good baseball guy, was reporting that, you know, Brad Hand was kind of their first choice, but they've also contacted the Orioles and expressed some interest in Zach Britton.
Right.
So that kind of looks like, you know, the route they're going there now. They don't really have any other names here. So
is there anybody in their depleted minor league system that the Orioles would take?
You know, I think so. I mean, you know, they didn't really get a top guy for Machado. And
no,
obviously, you know, Britton is on a 1 year deal.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't think it would be difficult at all for, you know, them to kind of grab a double A guy, or, you know, maybe even a high A guy, and say, hey, we're gonna, you know, we'll give you this guy.
Yeah,
you
well,
know,
it certainly
here,
would be
here,
a
oh.
yeah, it would certainly be a welcome addition to the Cubs bullpen, a very valuable addition if they could acquire Britton. As you pointed out, he looks like he's rounding into form now, at least recently.
So yeah, you know, I mean, it's just one of those things. I mean, I don't know. Let me see if I can hunt down, what is it, Tennessee? What are they, the Smokies? I don't know who.
Who's
out there, you know, doing much. But let's see who's having a good year in Tennessee at Double A here. They got an outfielder by the name of Jeffrey Baez, who's hitting hitting 271, but he has 7 homers, 26 RBIs, and he stole 14 bases. You know, I mean, like, these guys, you know, there's really, you know, Trent Giambrone, I'm guessing his name is, a second baseman. There's really no spot for him in the middle of the infield. Are you going to bump Russell or Baez for this guy?
No,
you know, these guys could be, you know, kind of used as trade bait, you know, if they're, you know, if that's something the Orioles were looking for.
What about
you know, the
Cody?
Tough part, I mean, you know, if the, yeah, you know, he could be a, you know, if, you know, maybe it takes David Bote and one of these guys, you know, a Baez or a Giambrone, or maybe somebody from Class A. You know, maybe you got to go down there and, you know, grab a Class A guy and just be like, well, okay, You know, the you know he these two guys are going to go for him or.
Yeah. I'll tell you, Vody has been a very pleasant, in my opinion, very pleasant surprise for me. He's really played well.
Well, you know, he again. He seems to be the kind of guy the Orioles like. They like those utility type of guys. You know, I mean, they went out and got Tim Beckham last year, who can play the middle infield positions. You know, the Verdugo or the Verducci guy they got from the Dodgers is a utility type player. You know, it just kind of seems to be their MO. And I know, you know, there's a lot of teams now that like that, you know, quote unquote super utility guy who can kind of bounce around and, you know, play these different positions if needed. So maybe, you know, maybe that's what they're looking for is versatility like that.
Yeah, he certainly has helped the Cubs out in his infrequent appearances. No power, not very little. He has one home run, right? But his fielding is very nice, and he made some nice plays for the Cubs at third base.
Well, you know, then the huge thing that could really help the Cubs facilitate a deal with this is they can pick up all of the money left on Britton's contract. They wouldn't need the Orioles to kick in any money. You know, like they didn't send any money to the Dodgers from Machado, so that's a big help. And then if the Cubs are going to pick up the remainder of the money, well, obviously they have to give, or the Cubs or any other team, you have to give less in return. So, you know, the difficult part is, you know, a guy with hand off the market, you know, Britton moves right to the top of the list of relievers, and, you know, you start throwing, you know, the Red Sox need bullpen help, the Yankees need bullpen help. You know, just about every contender can use another arm like Britton in their bullpen, and you just wonder if somebody overpays.
Yeah, that's always the risk when someone's a hot commodity, especially this time of year.
Yeah, because I had read at one point in time, and I don't know how accurate any of these are, that the Yankees were actually willing to give up a top prospect to get a reliever. And they have some really high-rated minor leaguers. You know, again, who knows what that translates to when a guy gets to the big leagues. I mean, we've seen that over and over. But, yeah, I mean, you know, if they're going to, you know, if they're willing to pay the price, that's probably where Baltimore goes.
Yeah. And you're talking about the Yankees. Is Chapman hurt? Was he hurt recently? Is he on DL or is he back?
Yeah, he skipped the All-Star game because he was injured. So, but here I have this for you, the lineups for tonight. I don't know if you've seen this
All
one.
Right.
But here's how the Cubs are coming back from the break. Well, I'll start with the Cardinals since they're the visitors. Matt Carpenter leading off at first. Yadier Molina bats second, and he's, of course, the catcher. Paul DeJong at short. Marcell Ozuna hits cleanup in left. Jed Jorko at third. Colton Wong at second. Dexter Fowler gets the start, hitting seventh and right. Tommy Pham hits eighth and center. And then, of course, the pitcher's in the ninth slot. Interesting lineup here. Anthony Rizzo is leading off tonight. He's followed by Chris Bryant, Jason Hayward. The big cleanup man is Ben Zobrist. Then it's Ian Happ, Kyle Schwarber, Addison Russell, and Victor Caratini in the eighth spot before we get to Kyle Hendricks.
Wow, that's an unusual lineup.
When was the last time two first basemen led off the games for their teams?
Yeah, well, of course, Rizzo got... Whoops.
All you got to go over to tuning.com and it's right there for you. Are the Cubs going to win tonight?